Okay, I'm going to cover a lot of ground today. Oh, no. And a groan comes from the crowd, yes. But we're getting back into Revelation chapter 16, and it's been a month or more since I preached Revelation. So what we're going to do is go through all 16 chapters today. You guys aren't laughing. It's why, you know, Michelle brought extra food, you know. She's probably going to need it. Yeah. So, but I am going to kind of recap all 15 previous chapters very quickly. And, or at least I think it'll be very quickly. And then we'll get into chapter 16. Just as, you know, when you get away from something, you kind of lose the flow and all that. And so, let's just review. And we, you know, starting with chapter 1, John is in the Isle of Patmos. It's the first century. He's writing to the seven churches, an account of a vision that he had. He was in the Spirit, and Bible says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And so he's writing the things that he saw and for us so that we, because, you know, if the Lord didn't reveal it, we wouldn't know it. I mean, it's just that simple. We would never know these things. And then in chapters 2 and 3, it's a letter to each of these seven particular churches that Jesus had a message for. And then in chapter 4, we get into the hereafter. In chapter 1, he tells John, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Okay, so chapter 1 is the things that he saw. Chapters 2 and 3 was the seven churches that were in existence at that time. And he says, write the things which are. Okay, and then he says, and then the things which shall be hereafter, which starts in chapter 4, because in verse 1 of chapter 4 it says, after this was after he wrote the seven letters to the seven churches, and after he had the vision there in chapter 1, he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. And so starting with chapter 4 to the end of the book, basically, it's the things which are hereafter. And so then we move to chapter 5, and that's the book with the seven seals, and there's this book with seven seals, and there's great weeping taking place because no one is worthy to open this book, but then Jesus comes, and he's the one that is worthy, and he's worthy to open the book and loose the seven seals. And then in chapter 6, the seals are opened, where we see the Antichrist goes to conquer. There's wars, there's famine, there's pestilence, there's martyrs. The sun and moon darken, the stars fall, the second coming of Christ. Then in chapter 7, we have the 144,000. The great multitude appears in heaven, which is the rapture. Chapter 8, you got the seventh seal opens. The wrath of God begins. Okay? And with chapter 7, you get four of the seven trumpets go, which is hail and fire destroys a third of the trees, and then a third of the sea becomes blood, and a third of the fresh water becomes blood, and then a third of the sun, moon, and stars are darkened. And then the angel says there's three woes to come. Woe to those. You know, there's still three more woes. And then chapter 9, we have two more trumpets. We have one where smoke darkens the air and the sun, and locusts come out of the pit for 5 months and torment people. Four angels in the river Euphrates release an army of 200 million that kills a third of the people on the earth. Then we go to chapter 10, and there's a mighty angel that has this book that's bitter and sweet, and we understand that the sweetness is the gospel, but the bitterness is the fact that people are not going to listen to the gospel, and they're going to pay the price in the wrath of God. And then in chapter 11, we have the two witnesses. we have the seventh trumpet, earthquakes, thundering, hail, and the beginning of the millennium. We see in chapter 11 where it says the seventh angel sounded. Okay, this is the trumpet. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And so we see here in chapter 11 that the millennium starts. Everything's done. The tribulation, the wrath, all that is done. And we have the millennium. And as a reminder, you know, the way that I believe and the way that I preach this is the book of Revelation is two halves. The first 11 chapters gives us a complete account from chapter 1 to chapter 11. And then, you know, obviously in chapter 4 starts the throne room of Christ and you have the tribulation and all that. And then chapter 11, you ushers in the millennium. And then when you go to chapter 12, we go back to the first century again and we have the birth of Christ. And we see the struggle between the serpent, or the dragon, which is Satan, and mankind, which is represented by the woman. And there's this struggle that's been going on forever, or since the beginning, I should say. And then that ushers in that same chapter, we have the tribulation as we see Satan beginning to try to destroy mankind. And in chapter 13, we have the dragon, which is Satan, the beast, which is the Antichrist, and the false prophet who is out there causing the world to worship the beast and the dragon. And then in chapter 14, we see the 144,000 again because it's repeating and giving us different details about what we saw in chapter 7. And Christ comes in the clouds. There's the rapture. There's the gathering of those that are going to go into the wrath. And then in chapter 15, we see the seven angels of judgment. They're going to pour the vials. They have the great multitude in chapter 15 who had victory over the beast, his image, and his mark, singing the songs of Moses and the song of the Lamb, which are songs of judgment. And then the seven angels are given the vials that are full of God's wrath. Wow, I did that in 5 minutes. That's pretty good, huh? 15 chapters in 5 minutes. Yay! So, but that's just kind of an overview to get it to where we are right here in chapter 16. And the thing, you know, that a lot of people, you know, they don't understand when I'm talking about, and I got to get a haircut. Can't find a barber anymore. So anyway. You got pet clippers at the house. I appreciate your offer, John, but I think I'll pass. I'll pass on that. I'll deal with the hair. but what I want to show you today, because a lot of people will look at Revelation as one account going chapter 1 to chapter 22, and you have the trumpets, and then you get the seals and the trumpets, and then the vials. But my position is that the trumpets and the vials happen concurrently. Okay, and I got a little, we have the seven vials of God's wrath, which is the title of the message, basically, and that's chapter 16, verse 1, where he says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Okay, so I passed out this chart to y'all, okay, and there's still some, they're still hanging on the bulletin board as well. But the first trumpet goes, and there's a judgment, and then the first vial goes, and then the second trump, then the second vial, third trump, third vial, fourth trump, fourth vial, all the way to the end, okay? That's the way it makes sense to me, and I'm going to preach you that today, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. So they're related. Now, they're not the exact same judgments, but they're related, and I hope you see that today as I go through these. And so what you're going to need to do is put a marker in chapter 8, okay, of Revelation, and a marker in chapter 16, because we're going to flip back and forth, and we're going to compare 8, and I think I got the verses on your outline in there, I believe. But you're going to compare verses out of chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11 with chapter 16 of Revelation. So we're going to flip back and forth, And I just want to show you, why I believe what I believe. Okay? It's one thing to believe, but we need to know why we believe what we believe. And so I want to show you this, that they're related. They're not the exact same, but they're related, and it makes sense. Okay? And so let's just jump right into it. So we got these angels, and God has just told them, take your vials and go and pour them on the earth. So the first vial we have, what's the common theme, is it's on the earth. And verse 2 of chapter 16 says, the first angel went, and he poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And if you look at chapter 8, verse 7, it says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Okay? So there's the first. The trumpet sounds, there's a great mountain burning with fire is cast. Hail mingled with fire and blood is cast upon the earth, and a third of the trees are burnt, and all the grass is burnt. So you have fire all over the world, okay? And then what happens is, now the second angel comes, the angel with the vial, he comes, and he pours out upon the earth. And so while all these fires are going on, sores come on these men, all these people. Sores. And it says that he calls them noisome and grievous sore. And that's an interesting words. Noisome. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it's interesting. It means a very offensive smell. So, like whenever you got a wound and it's sore and there's pus in it and all that, and you clean that out, the smell. And so these men, these people, I shouldn't say just men, it's mankind, sores, they're covered with sores. Remember Job? And he had the sores all over him, and he was picking it with pottery, trying to let the pus out. I mean, this is nasty stuff. And people all over the world have, and the fires are going on. Can you imagine fires are going on? You're trying to put out fires or trying to save your house, and you got these sores all over you. And he says, not only are they noisome, they're grievous, which basically means severe. This isn't like, one little sore on your hand. These are severe. They're so infected. They're smelly. And at the same time, the world's on fire. A third of the world is burning right now. And this is just the first judgment. And one thing, and it says, the sores came upon who? Those that had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Now, there's been a lot of stuff, about these vaccines, and I've had people, say, is that the mark of the beast? No. I mean, if you're gonna get a vaccine, now, I personally am not for these vaccines. I think they were made in haste. And I just don't trust the government. I don't trust the pharmaceutical people. They got an agenda. But if you get it, you are not taking the mark of the beast, okay? Remember what the mark of the beast is. You're worshiping the Antichrist. You're worshiping his mark. You're worshiping him. If I go down and get a vaccination, I'm not worshiping anybody. Okay. And also with that vaccination, I don't need that vaccination to buy and sell. We're still going to have money. Okay. We're still got money right now. So don't, there's a lot of people is it like preparing us for things? Yes, I do believe it is. I believe this is stuff conditioning us, or at least the ones that are ignorant, the ones that don't understand what the Bible has to say, they're all for it. Okay? But for those of us that know what the Bible says, there's going to come a day when they're going to offer the mark, and you're going to be faced with a decision, and it may change your life. If you choose not to have it, it's going to affect you immensely. And it may cost you your life. Are you ready for that? And that's really the whole reason why I'm preaching this whole series on Revelation. I want people to be ready. I don't want people to be in the dark about what's going to happen. The Bible's pretty clear about it. But I just want to say this vaccine is not the mark of the beast, and all that. And, you know, if you took it or if you're planning on taking it, that's a personal decision. And, you know, you do what you feel is best for you. But I'm not taking it just because I don't trust them more than anything. So, and even a lot of the, what you're not hearing is there's a whole lot of the healthcare workers are pushing back against it. There's a lot of healthcare workers that aren't taking the vaccine, even though it's been offered to them. There's a lot of pushback going on that's not being publicized. And you probably have seen, just as I have seen, some people have gotten this vaccine and they're passing out right afterwards and stuff. Tell me that's good for you. You know, so, but all that to say, I'm not trying to get political here or anything, but it's just, don't be thinking this particular thing is the mark of the beast. It's not. But I do believe it's part of the process to get us there. Be that as it may. So that's the first vial, the first trumpet. It's fire and grievous sores upon people which took the mark and worshipped the image of the beast. And you got to remember, the 144,000 are on the earth at this time. They're witnessing to people. The two witnesses are on the earth at this time. They're witnessing to people. So people are getting saved and they're not taking the mark. They're not going to get the sores. It's only those that do. So, you know, got to keep it in perspective, okay? So then we come to the second vial, the second angel, the second trumpet, which the commonality there is the sea. Look at verse 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Now, if you flip back to verse 8 of chapter 8, it says, the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea that had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. So when the trump sounds first, the vial is poured out, this mountain is in the sea, a third of it turns to blood, a third of the creatures die, a third of the ships are destroyed, okay? But doesn't it make sense that that would spread? The seas are all connected, okay? The oceans all are. And then we see this next vial comes that's poured on, and what happens? Everyone dies. All the seas are contaminated, okay? The sea all became blood, and every soul that was in the sea died. So you have the first is the first hit, and then the vial finishes it. Okay, but the commonality is it's on the sea. First vial, first trumpet was on the earth. Second trumpet, second vial is on the sea. Okay, the third vial. We have verse 4. And the third angel of chapter 16, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. And then if you look back at chapter 8, verse 10, we have the third angel sounded, third trumpet, okay? And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon what? The third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And then it says the name of the star was Wormwood, and we talked about that when I preached on chapter 8. And many men died because the waters were made bitter, okay? But here we have the third trump is on the rivers. It's on the fresh water, okay? The rivers and the fountains. And then we have the third vial, and it's also upon the rivers and the fountains. You see the connection? It's worse. Look what he says. And I heard the angel of the waters say, "You are righteous, O Lord, which are and was and shall be, because you have judged this. For they," meaning people, these unsaved people, "have shed the blood of saints, and they've shed the blood of prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." And I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." So here we are. We got the third vial, the third trump, the third vial. The sea became blood. You know, all the sea became blood. There's sores on the men. There's fires on the earth. The rivers are blood now. And they're saying, these voices say, it's righteous. Think about that. It's good that you are doing this, Lord, because they have shed blood, so you're giving them blood to drink. And it says, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. You know, our judgments in this world, our judgments in our court system, legals, you know, they're not always true. They're not always righteous, are they? Sometimes innocent people are convicted. Sometimes guilty people go free. They're not all true. They're not all right. I mean, we do the best we can, but we're not God. But everything God does is true. Everything God does is righteous and right. And it is right that God has these plagues. He has these vials. He has these trumpets on mankind. Because you know what? God is now dealing with sin. And He will deal with it. We see that here. And so, you know, our mindset, you know, it's like, man, we feel sorry. We read about these people. Wow, that's horrible. And it is. But when you get the mind of God and you see how He feels, I mean, He felt so strongly about sin, He had to send His Son to die to pay the price for it. And then people ignored His sacrifice. There's going to be justice. You know, nobody has an excuse. We all have opportunity. And it's right. You know, there comes a day when justice will be served. God has to. He has to be true to His own nature. Justice will be served. As horrible as we see this, it is right and it is true. Fourth vial. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 16 says, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. And when you go back to verse 12 of chapter 8, in Revelation, it says the fourth angel sounded, and what, a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, a third part of the stars, so a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And so here we have the fourth angel smites the sun, and so that's the common thing. And the trumpet comes, he smites the sun and the moon and causes a third of them to disappear or whatever. We're not sure exactly what all that entails, but it appears that there's going to be 8 hours of total darkness each day. And then when we come to the vial, so first of all, we got a third of the sun and the moon and the stars, and then the vial is poured out, and now the heat is intensified so much that people are scorched and they're blaspheming God over it. Because, and they're not repenting. They're not saying, okay, I give. They're just getting more and more rebellious against God. And we, you know, and it's interesting, you know, when I'm reading this, I'm looking at this and I'm like, now that's global warming. You know, I mean, you hear all this nonsense today, you know, oh wow, you know, it's gone up a tenth of a degree over the last 30 years and it's going to destroy, you know, whatever. But this is some serious global warming, okay? Because it is scorching people. You know, how hot is that? Well, what? They just recently, just this summer, I guess, they recorded the highest temperature ever. It was like 133 or something in Death Valley, or 134 or something like that at Death Valley. And that's hot. I mean, I'm not making light of that. But, you know, it's not, I mean, what's this going to be that people are actually scorched? 150 degrees? You know, 160? I don't know. I mean, 150 is hot, man. You can't hold your hand under 150 degree water. I mean, if you do, I guess you got no nerves in your hand. It's hot. And, you know, this heat is coming down. And I've had people say, well, I'll just turn on my air conditioner. Oh, well, that's fine. You know, But I know, you've been in some pretty hot summers if you lived up here any amount of years. You know, we've had some summers where it reached close to 120 or right in there. And you know what? I don't know about you, but my air conditioner wasn't doing the job. Okay? Even then. And think about this. A third of the grass has been burned. Do you think maybe some of the power grid has gone offline? You think maybe a whole lot of the power grid has gone? You may have an air conditioner, but you can't run it because there's no power. Okay? So you think you're going to turn your air conditioner on and ride this thing out? No. I'm sorry. Don't count on your air conditioner. And then they say, but you said a third of the sun was blocked out, you know, so that'll give you some relief. Well, maybe, but I don't know. We got married in July and we did our honeymoon in Palm Springs. And we got married on a Friday night and we didn't leave the house till like 10 o'clock or something over in Torrance where we got married. And we left the house at her mom's house at 10 o'clock. And I think we rolled into our hotel in Palm Springs at midnight or a little after. And I remember pulling into the parking lot there. And there was a swimming pool. It was beautiful. It had a nice swimming pool there with lights on. And there was a clock and a thermometer, you know, right next to each other, right on the wall, you know. And it's after midnight. And the thermometer says like 116. You know, so just because it was dark, you know, that didn't do much for us. I mean, I don't know what it was during the day, but, you know, it was 116 at midnight. And I'll never forget that. You know, I got out, you know, we were in an air-conditioned car, and I get out of the car, and I was like, whoa, you know? And so just because the sun is dark doesn't mean, you know, a third of the time doesn't mean there's no heat, folks. You know, if God wants it to be hot, it's going to be hot, whether you can see the sun or not. It's just going to make it more miserable because it's going to be utterly dark. A third of the time, no sun, no moon, no stars, no power because grass has all been burned, trees are all, you know, there's been severe damage to the power grid, just logically, okay? Just looking at it. No, maybe there's no lights and you're just sitting there just sweating and getting scorched. No wonder they blasphemed. Because they didn't believe anyway. To start with. That's the sun. So we had a vial and trumpet on the earth, vial and trumpet on the sea, vial and trumpet effect in the rivers, vial and trumpet effect in the sun. And then we go to the fifth, darkness. Darkness, chapter 16, 10, and 11. The fifth angel pours his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And if you go back to chapter 9, verse 1, we have the fifth angel sounds the trumpet, and he says he saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. In verse 2 here, look at this, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And then it says, and then came out of the smoke locusts, and they were given great power as scorpions have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass, whatever was left of it, I guess, or any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men that have not the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, who has the seal of God on their foreheads? 144,000. Okay? When we read that in those chapters, they received the seal of God. They had to be sealed so that what? So that all these plagues, all these judgments would not affect them. Okay? And it was given to them that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. This judgment lasts five, you know, it wasn't like this thing hit and it was dark and you know, these scorpions came out and stung for it. It was 5 months. 5 months. That is a long time. And it says, in those days men will seek death and they won't find it. And they'll desire to die. And death will flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like horses prepared to battle. And their heads were crowns of gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. I don't know what these animals are, but they're fierce. Okay? And they had breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots. And they had tails like scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And the power was to hurt men for 5 months. Okay, so you got these creatures. Now think about this. You got these creatures. And now you got total darkness. And you've got sores all over your body. Because that's still going on. It just said it right there. They're blaspheming God because of their pains and their sores. So you got sores all over the body. It's like 150 degrees outside or inside or wherever they are. Okay? And then you got these creatures coming in to sting them. And can you imagine? You ever see those bugs that are like really hard to kill? You know, they're crawling across there. And I've even stepped on them with a shoe before. And you come off and they keep running. And then you got to really get on them and you'll feel it go crunch. Well, this says they have like breastplates like iron. I imagine you're sitting there doing this and you're not even phasing them. And on top of that, can you even see them? Because it's dark. You're in darkness. That's part of this plague, is there's smoke has come out and darkened the sun. Everything's dark. You got sores all over you. There's no power. It's 150 degrees and these creatures are stinging you. Man, this is not a pretty picture, folks. Great darkness. Another aspect of this, because I'm telling you these things happen concurrently. In other words, first trumpet, first vial, second trumpet, second. Okay? When you look at this passage here, verse 10, look in chapter 16, verse 10, fifth angel poured his vial upon what? The seat of the beast. And his kingdom. His kingdom. Now wait a minute. Back in chapter 11, we have this verse. The seventh angel sounded, this is the trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying what? The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. But now if chapter 11 happened chronologically before chapter 16, you have a problem with this verse, because it says the angel pours his vial upon the seat of the beast and his kingdom. The beast's kingdom. Got a problem here. Unless, obviously, the fifth angel had to pour his vial before the seventh angel sounded the seventh trumpet. Had to. Because at this point, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of the Lord. They no longer belong to the beast, the Antichrist. They belong to the Lord. And so it's impossible that chapter 16 can come after chapter 11. It had to be before. Had to be. All right. Sixth vial. We're rolling today, folks. We're rolling. Sixth vial. Chapter 16, verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And if you go back to chapter 8, or chapter 9, I'm sorry, verse 13, and it says, the sixth angel sounded the trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. So here we have the Euphrates. That's the common theme here. Sixth angel, release the angel, or the sixth angel blows the trumpet, release the angels that are bound in that river. And of course, we know what happened there. When they loosed them, there was an army that came out of that of 200 million, and their job was basically kill a third of the earth. So there's a great pestilence taking place. There's a great killing taking place. And it says, but the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues repented not. Okay, so they're still not repenting. That's back in chapter 9. That's the seventh trumpet, or sixth trumpet. But here we have the sixth vial also affecting the river Euphrates. So first trumpet, first vial on the earth. Second trumpet, second vial on the sea. Third trumpet, third vial on the river. Fourth trumpet, fourth vial on the sun. Fifth trumpet, fifth vial, darkness. Sixth trumpet, sixth vial, river Euphrates is the key here. Some of the, they're similar, but different. You know, they add to the problems of all these people that are alive during this time. And you wonder how anybody could still be alive, but they are. And we see this, it's dried up. These four angels are released, okay? And we have the army and the spirits. And it says, let me find my spot. I'm totally in the wrong place here. Okay, so it's dried up that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Because you got to remember, and we're going to see this a little later in this chapter, things are gearing up for Armageddon. Okay, things are gearing up. And it's preparing for the battle. In other words, the Lord is bringing about circumstances in such a way that this battle's going to take place. Okay, and he says in verse 13 of 16, I saw the three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, out of the mouth of the false prophet. Remember, that's the religious leader that's telling everyone to worship the dragon and the beast. And it says, they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to where? The kings of the earth and of the whole world. So we see these kings are still in place here. To gather them to battle that great day of God Almighty. Okay? And he says, behold, then he gives us a warning. So all this is about getting the stage set for Armageddon. And I'm not going to go into that much right now because we're going to talk about that in chapter 19 and 20. Okay? That's when we get into that. So, but suffice to say, the stage is being set for that battle to take place. And then it's this verse 15 is kind of a warning. It's kind of like God taking a breath here, and he says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And it's like, you know what? Are you wearing the garment? The white garment of the Lord? Are you wearing your garments? Because if you are, you're blessed. You know, because you got to remember, we're reading this. These guys aren't going to be, the guys that are alive here, they're not going to be reading this. They're going to be trying to kill all those scorpions and, you know, they're going to have swords. You know, they're not reading this. This is for us. This is just an aside where God is saying, you know what? Keep your garments. Get saved. Short way of saying it, get saved. Because if you're saved, you're not going to go through any of this. You're not going to go through the trumpets. You're not going to go through the vials. You're going to be in the throne room of God. Remember when we talked about the throne room of God, just praising God. That's what we're going to be doing. Those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So it's just God just stops and tells us, hey, you're blessed if you're saved, and if you're not, you're not blessed. You're going to pay. And it says in 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. So here we see the stage set, okay? But Armageddon hasn't happened yet. We're going to see it in detail. I mean, it happens, but we're not studying it right now. It's in 19. And actually, it's a pretty short battle. He gathers them all, and then he just kills them. So it's pretty short. But we will see that. So here we have now the seventh angel, the seventh vial, hail. And actually, you could put voices, thunderings, lightnings, earthquakes, and hail, because they all happen. In this, and it says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Okay, just like, remember back chapter 11? Okay, verse 15, where he said, hey, the kingdoms of the world are now the kingdoms of God, kingdoms of his son. Same thing. It is done. In other words, that's the final vial. Okay, the final plague has been released. It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. And if you go back to chapter 11 of Revelation, the seventh angel sounded, and there were voices in heaven. There's the heaven, the voices. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord, and the 24 elders which sat before God fell on their face and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, Lord God Almighty, which are and was and are to come, because you have taken to you your great power, and you have reigned. So in other words, he's taken over. It's the millennium. And he says, and the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to your servants. Here we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. The rewards are handed out. Judgment seat of Christ, in other words. Judgment seat of Christ. Because we're going to rule and reign with him in the 1,000 years. So we got to get our rewards first. It doesn't happen, you know, way at the end. We get our rewards right there, right at the millennium. And then when Christ sets up his kingdom, we're going to be in different positions based on his judgment, whatever it is, you know, according to what we've done with the gifts he gave us and those kind of things. You know, our works, as it says, our works will be tried by fire, and, you know, what was worthless will be burned up, but that which was good, and, you know, was made of what they say, wood, hay, and stubble, and then the other is gold and precious stones. Okay, those will last through the fire, meaning we hopefully will all have works that were eternal, that had eternal impact, kingdom impact. And based on that, we will be given positions in his kingdom, whatever that looks like. And then it says in the temple of God, going on down to verse 19 of chapter 11, I know I'm kind of rolling, I hope I'm not losing you. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the Ark of the Testament. And look, there were lightnings, voices, thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. So that first trumpet sounds, the angel pours his vial, and it, you know, God proclaims, hey, you know, it's proclaimed, yeah, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he'll reign forever. And there was earthquakes, hail, thunder. That's all it says. You know, it doesn't really sound like it's all that bad until you read about it over here in chapter 16, where in the seventh vial is poured, and we have the same thing. We have voices, thunders, verse 18, voices, thunders, lightning, and a great earthquake. There's never been an earthquake like this one. And the great city fell in three pieces. Cities fell of nations. I mean, cities are just leveled all over the... I don't know how there could be any cities left after all the stuff that's happened, but apparently there is. And what's left of them are leveled. And then it says that it then fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Now, you got to remember, these guys are still fighting scorpions. There's darkness. There's sores all over their body. There, you know, all this stuff. You know, it's 150 degrees. All this stuff is going on. And what are they upset about? The hail. This has got to be some bad stuff, folks. And it says the hail was exceedingly great. And it says every stone was about the weight of a talent. And when you look up talent in the Bible, you know, Bible measures, there's many different scales that say talent, but basically it's anywhere from 60 to 100 pounds. Okay, so can you imagine? Let's take the smallest. 60-pound hailstone? Are you kidding me? I mean, well, I'll go inside. Yeah. 60-pound hailstone coming down from heaven. You know what? You have to know what terminal velocity is. Like when things fall, they can only go so fast because of the pressure of the air. It's like 140 something miles an hour. How much? 125, is that terminal velocity? So you figure a 60-pound hailstone, 125 miles an hour, lands on your roof. You ain't got no roof. And it's not like just one stone. I mean, it's hailing. You know, you ever been in a hailstorm? I mean, there's tons of those things coming down. And can you imagine?
Ask me weighed hundreds of pounds.
Is that what your version says?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of, like I say, interpretations, but the some of the weights and measures, I mean, the smallest I found was like 60. But man, if it weighed 100, can you imagine that? I mean, is it really going to make much difference? I mean, it's kind of like, well, all today, you know, like regarding the heat, well, you know, it's been 155, now it's only 150. I mean, are you really going to notice? You know? I mean, if it's a 100-pound hailstone or a 60-pound hailstone, is it really going to matter? I mean, you're going to be flattened. And if that thing hits you, you're dead. I mean, it's just that simple. And these things are coming down. And it's like, you know, what's interesting when you study these trumpets and vials. You know, I think I got it, got the chart again. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, they're different, but they get closer and closer together as the judgments go forward. And then when you get to the end, they're exactly the same thing. It's like kind of hits you here, hits you there, hits you here, hits you there. And then that last trumpet, that last vial, they're both voices, thunderings, hail, earthquakes, lightning. It's like the final bam. Then it's done. You know, remember in the one scripture, and I don't remember it off the top of my head, it's in Revelation, the angel comes and says, woe. There's three woes to come. After the fourth trumpet sounds, the Bible says, the angel comes and says, woe unto those that go, you know, there's three more woes to come. And those last three are just brutal. I mean, the first four are bad, but the last three are just off the chart. That's the trumpets and the vials. It can be, we can read this and, you know, it's not like good news, okay? And in our day, right now, I mean, I've talked to some people and they're saying, well, you know, we were kind of wishing for 2020 to be over. But we don't know what 2021 holds. And you may not wish to be, I mean, I got sick, and I don't really wish to be sick again, but it could get to a place where I wish I was back in 2020. I mean, it could happen, right? I mean, we don't know. And it's easy to look at things that are going on and become discouraged or fearful. And the wicked seem to prosper, don't they? It just seems like all these people, how do they even get elected? You know? And they make the craziest, you know, like Pelosi saying, well, we're doing away with terms like husband, wife, daughter, son. You know, because those are not inclusive. You know, I was talking with Jim, you know, before the service, and it's like, you know, they're going to do away with that because it's not inclusive. Well, you know what? There are differences between people. You know, if I say people got brown eyes, I'm sorry, you blue-eyed and green-eyed people, you're out. Okay? Brown eyes are in. Blue and green are out. You know, and saying that we're going to be all-inclusive, so we're not going to refer to color, we're just going to say eyes, that doesn't change the fact that some people have blue eyes, some people have green eyes, some people have brown eyes. Okay? I mean, it's like as if we can change this terminology and we're going to make everything just all so inclusive. Sorry. You know, people are different. They just are. You want to be inclusive, then just say people. And when you get, if you go any further than that, you're not being inclusive. Except for maybe people that think that dogs are people too, you know, or cats are people too. And those people need help. They need help. But anyway, it just seems like though these crazy people, these wicked people that are propagating the stuff, it seems like they prosper. And it seems like people that try to do what are right are oppressed. And the Lord shows us in Revelation 16 that this isn't going to be the case. And He reminds us in Psalm 73 what the future holds for the wicked. And I'm going to read some out of Psalm 73 as I wrap this up. Because you know what? It starts off really bad, but it turns out really good. And we got to keep our eyes on the fact that, you know, what we're reading about in chapter 16 or, you know, and 17 and 18 are no piece of cake either, okay, coming up. And that stuff can really weigh on you. But there's some things in Psalm 73. Truly God is good. Truly God is good. And it says to Israel. But you know what? Israel in the Old Testament is like you in the New Testament. It's the believer. You got to remember that. It says, even to such that are of a clean heart. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have a clean heart. Don't have a perfect heart, but you have a clean one. You've been forgiven. It says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had slipped. You know, this is a guy, he says, I'm kind of falling off the path. Because I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, and neither are they plagued like other men. Isn't that true? The rich seem to just skate. And everybody else kind of deals with it. It says, therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. The Bible says their pride is like a chain. It's going to hold them down. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. I mean, can you say Gates? Can you say, I mean, you know, these people? They are corrupt. They speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? They're saying there is no God. And so he says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And then he says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. He's thinking, I'm doing all this for nothing. And I mean, you ever been there? You ever just feel like, you know, I'm a believer and I'm not turning my back on God, but it just doesn't seem like it pays off, you know? And he says, I've washed my hands in innocency, and for all the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. And he says, if I say I will speak this way, behold, I will offend against the generation of your children. And he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He's considering all these things, and he says, it's too painful. He says, until what? Verse 17, until I went to the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Then I understood their end. He says, surely, God, you set them in slippery places. You will cast them into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? Because it's going to be sudden. I mean, you know, we know that the wrath of God takes place over about 3.5 years or so. But it comes on that first trumpet and first vial, and then it's just relentless for 3.5 years. And it says, they are utterly consumed with terrors. He says, nevertheless, I am continually with you, and you have held me in your right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and you receive, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Who have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside you. You know, he's getting his focus where it needs to be. He says, my flesh and my heart fails. And that's what happens. You know, when we're inundated with all this stuff, is it ever going to end? Is 2020 ever going to end? I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of all these restrictions. I'm so tired of all these things. And it's just wearing on me. And he says, my flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Listen, folks, it's not your strength, it's his. And he's the strength of my heart, and he's my portion forever. And he says, those that are far from you will perish. You have destroyed them that go, and it uses very strong terminology. You have destroyed all that go a-whoring from you. God wanted relationship with us. And when we go after something else, he says we're prostituting ourselves. We're going after some other thing. We're making them our God. What was it, Lorna? She wrote, government, people are looking to the government to be their savior because of all the stuff going on, but we can look to the savior because he controls all the stuff going on. That's a really harsh paraphrase. It's way better what she wrote or what she put, she posted it or something. But it's like, but it's true. Isn't that what the government is? Everybody's saying the government, you know, did you get your stimulus check? You know? I mean, oh, government's going to bail me out. My hope is in that. You know, well, what are you going to do when the government collapses? Then where's your hope going to be? See, that's, you know, governments come and go, folks. You know, Rome didn't think they were ever going to fall. Right? Most powerful country on earth. Oh, where have you ever heard that? Right? Most powerful country on earth. Well, we can't go down. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Because you know what? Antichrist is going to rule the world. That means America went down. Antichrist is going to rule the world, folks. At least for a time. He says, no. He says, my flesh, my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart. He's my portion. They that are far from you, they will perish. They will destroy. They will be destroyed, all that go a whoring after or away from you, God. But then I love the last verse, verse 28. But it is good for me. It is good for me to draw near to God. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all your works. All his works. Draw near to God. Put your trust in God. Declare what he has done in your life. You know, no matter how bad it gets, no matter where you go, you know, you may get arrested for your faith, you may be put in jail. Just draw near to God. Put your faith in him and declare his works in jail or in the hospital or on the side of the road or in the homeless camp or wherever it is we end up if it goes that far in our lifetime. Wherever it is, draw close to God. Don't lose your faith in him. And declare what he has done. He reminds us what the future holds for the wicked. So when you see the wicked prosper, and don't, God's aware. And he reminds us. And one day, we who believe will be with the Lord, and all the wicked will be dealt with justly. Heaven is a great place to be, but hell is a just place. It is right that it exists. But in the meantime, let's draw near to God. Let's trust in him. Let's declare his works, that we may be encouraged. You know, why does the Bible say, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves, but actually draw together even more as the day approaches? Do you believe the day's approaching? I believe it's approaching. And what's the government trying to do? Trying to separate us all. Stay in your house. Don't go anywhere. Just stay in your house. And you know what? God knows that we need each other. We need each other to encourage one another, to help one another out where, you know, where we can, whatever it may be. That's part of being the family of God. That's what it's about, folks. Because it's going to get hard. And we'll need each other. And the government is trying to keep everyone apart. You can just see, you know, the way it works. Amen. So be it. You know, you read Revelation, man, there's some bad stuff in there. But you know what? So be it. It's God has ordained it. It is good. It is right. But, you know, keep reading. You know, we're going to get to chapters 21 and 2. It's going to be good, okay? So there's good news ahead. But, amen. So be it that way, too. Accepted Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him? Have you made him your Lord and Savior? Then, you know what? Rejoice. It's good. Where are you at today? Are you a person that you know you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? I pray that you do. It has never been more important than right now to know the Lord. But there may be some here today, there may be some watching, that you have never accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You've just been living your life according to the way we all did. Just according to what we thought was right and wrong and how we wanted to do. And you may even be a very moral person. And you would never steal or you would never harm somebody in a intentional way or anything like that. But you know what? That doesn't do it. That does not. You have sinned and you need to admit it. You've lied at some time in your life. You've probably stole at some time in your life. You've had unkind thoughts sometime in your life. You've treated people wrong sometime in your life. You can't take that back. You did it. You're guilty. And you need Jesus. Because if you don't trust in the fact that Jesus paid for your sin, then you're going to pay for your own sin yourself in hell. You will pay for it forever. And God did not want that. That is why He sent Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That verse is so famous for a reason. It's because it's true. And it's powerful. And it was spoken by Christ to a man that was asking good questions and that needed Him, needed to know the truth. And so I'm giving you the truth today. Jesus died for you. You place your faith and trust in Him, ask God to forgive you on the basis of Jesus on the cross shedding His blood, and you know what? God will forgive you. He'll adopt you into His family. And your future will be radically changed forever in a good way. Can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Just a moment to reflect on the message. If there's anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never done it. And I need prayer about that. I come to realize some things today. God's pricked my heart. Anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I will not approach you. I just want to pray for you and pray that God would move in your heart. If you're watching online, I pray that you would seek someone out to talk to about this if God has moved your heart. Don't wait. The devil will come and snatch it away if you do. You need to act upon it. Contact me. Contact someone you know that's a Christian. For the rest of us, how many would say, you know what, things this year's kind of gotten me down and I need to refocus on the Lord and kind of get my head turned around a little bit. Anybody like that? Just amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for that. How many would say, I need to draw near to God. I just need to draw nearer. I realize that. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, I need to be more about declaring His works to others? I've been kind of lax in that, and I need to be more vocal. Anybody like that? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You. I pray for these, Lord, that responded. And Lord, I pray that You would give them strength and courage and give them hope, Lord. We know that things can get bad and they can get worse, but Lord, in the end, You reign. And in the end, we'll be with You, and there is much to rejoice. Father God, help us to have that eye like You had, Lord. The eye to look upon someone and with compassion and care enough about their soul to share the gospel with them, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us to encourage one another in a greater way as well. Father God, we come before you. I pray for these that raise their hand. I pray, Lord, you'd move upon them, that you would manifest yourself in a mighty way. Show them what you would have them change in their life. Show them what you would have them do, and give them the courage to do it, Lord, to your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. As the music plays, if God has pricked your heart, you deal with him now. This is your opportunity. Don't let it go by. Father, we come before you and we ask your blessing upon all that heard these words today, Lord, that saw your word and what it had to say. And Father God, may the truth of your hatred of sin, may the truth of how sin, you can't even be in the presence of sin, Lord. You abhor it, Lord. Father, may we fully recognize how you feel about it and help us to see how ugly it is. And Lord God, how righteous your judgments are because of that. And then, Father, help us to recognize that there's people that you loved and died for. And you're asking us to share the gospel with them. Father, give us the courage. Give us the strength. Give us the words to do these things, Lord, as you bring people across our path, that some would hear the truth and respond to it and be adopted into your family. Father God, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.